Praise the Lord. This is the third message in the series that I called Walk This Way. In the first message, we saw how the walk of faith can be bumpy, can be difficult at times. It can be very hard to walk the faith walk. But we learned, even though our path is not always easy, we learned with Christ all things are possible. At least that's what God's Word says in Philippians 4:13. In Christ all things are possible. Last week in the second message, we heard what God's Word clearly says about the power and authority that we have as believers. The one that we call Jesus, He received all power and authority from His Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, and He delegated that authority to His followers, and they've delegated it through the centuries all the way down to believers today, including us. They've passed it on ever since then. And as I said last week, I believe that as a group, believers are a huge spiritual force that needs to be awakened in our world today. We walk by faith, not by sight, and that's evidenced by those who are in the room today. We have to recognize the power of God that dwells within us so that we can operate in His power and authority. This is true individually, one-on-one, and collectively as a group. We need to recognize that power. We need to operate in it. And part of what happens when we operate in the power and authority of Almighty God is we bear fruit. Because we're spiritual trees, according to Christ. We are tapped into the vine, according to Him. Today we're going to hear what He says, what God's Word says and reveals about the traits of Holy Spirit-filled women and men. And whole communities of believers. These attributes are called the fruit of the Spirit. And it's that fruit that Spirit-filled believers produce. We bear it. I believe it's time to improve fruit bearing for God. Is anybody with me here? I think we need to be producing fruit. For so long, the body of Christ stopped, largely, not completely, but stopped producing the fruit of the Spirit. How many times, I can't tell you how many times I walk into a building like this, sit down, and somebody says, "You're in my seat." That's not the fruit of the Spirit. And that's just one thing. We need to be people of God who want to please our Creator. We need to be people of God who want to bear that fruit that He calls the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And so as we look into God's Word today, before we do, I want us to pray. But as we look in God's Word today, I want us to go there with an open mind. I mean completely open. Allow God's Word to fill every bit of your being so that you are walking in His Word by faith, not by sight. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, please reach deep inside of us, Lord. Cleanse us, Father. Open our minds. Awaken us to the truth of Your Word. Please, God, wipe away any traditions and doctrines of men that are contrary to Your Word. Father, we have been, for so long, we've been immersed in everything but Your Word. And I hear it from many people, Father. I hear it. We need to learn Your Word. We need to walk in Your Word. We need to be people of Your Word. And so, God, help us to be those people. Help us, Father. Keep us watchful as we see the day of our Lord's return approaching. Thank You for growing us together into Your family that meets in this building. Thank You for assembling us together to praise and worship You. Thank You, Lord, for those who are faithful to Your Word and refuse to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Please pour Your Spirit upon all who are within the sound of My voice, Father. Your Spirit. Holy Spirit. Empower us by Your Holy Spirit to bear good fruit as it's written in Your Word. Open the eyes of our understanding, Father. Help us to see where perhaps we're bearing fruit other than the fruit of the Spirit. And please clear any distractions from our minds as we attend to Your Word today. There is nothing more important in this day, Lord, than to hear Your Word, because hearing Your Word bears faith into Your people. It brings faith. It develops faith. It grows faith. It makes faith. Faith comes by hearing Your Word. And so help us, Father, to eliminate all of those things that are in the back of our mind, maybe, we're distracted by, that we would not be distracted, Father, that we would hear Your truth. Please grant to Your servant that with all boldness, Lord, I may speak Your Word through the name of Your holy servant, Yeshua. And all God's people said, Amen. We're going to open our Bibles to the fifth chapter of Galatians, Galatians 5, beginning at verse 16. And that's where we're going to find Paul's writing to the church in Galatia. And in those Bibles there in your seats, if you have them, there's not very many. There's only about 40 of them in the building, or maybe 30, I don't know. But that would be on page... Let's see, what page is that? 1793. Galatians chapter 5. Don't feel pressured. I'm not going to rush on. I'll wait till you all find it. Galatians chapter 5. It's page 1793 in the Bibles there in the seats. We're going to begin with verse 16. And we'll read to the end of that chapter. Galatians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 16. And this is what we hear there. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a war going on, folks. There's a war going on between your flesh and the Spirit. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Do you ever find yourself stumbling and say, why did I do that? Why have I not overcome that? Your flesh is weak, even though the Spirit is willing. Your flesh is weak. Thank God for the blood of Christ. You're led, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Why has there got to be so many? Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Pray that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. I trust that He will. The fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of the flesh. The fruit of the flesh is not the fruit of the Spirit. And there are many places in Scripture that we see both of those things, not necessarily called the fruit of, but they most definitely are the fruit of. The fruit of the flesh takes us out of that provision, if you will, because the Spirit of God will be grieved. He'll go. He's a gentleman. Oh, you want to live that way? Now, I'm not talking about those momentary lapses whenever we stumble. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about willful, deliberate sinning against Almighty God. And there are those today that would say, well, we're not under the law, Pastor. Well, we're going to get to that. We're not. He says so. His word's clear. We're not under the law. We're under grace. But grace is not an excuse to produce what? What are we producing outside of God? The fleshly works. The works of the flesh. Grace doesn't allow us to do that. Grace doesn't give us a license to go forward with those things because He tells us in His Word, you once were this way. You used to be this way. But now, you're a new creation in Christ. And as such, you will bear the fruit of being a new creation. Our walk with our Lord, the Messiah, is characterized by 9 things that are called the fruit of the Spirit. We are to be fruit bearers. And that's what I've entitled this message, fruit bearers. As I said to the children, we are to bear fruit. And those things that are written are pretty clear. And as the under-shepherd of Christ and the shepherd here of this flock, I am given the task of sharing with you what God's Word says about these things. I can't look at just one side. Paul didn't look at just one side. Paul looked at both. As shepherd of this flock, part of my role is to lead you to receive all of the spiritual gifts that God wants you to have. He wants you to have the benefits of Spirit-filled living. And I'm to do that. I'm to share that with you. Among other things, another part is to guide you out of those things that displease. Those things that the enemy of our souls set as traps, snares, the snares of the devil, one place calls it in Scripture. Those things that ensnare us do not please our Heavenly Father. And we may not continue in those things because when we continue in them deliberately, willfully, turning against what God says we are to be, He calls us workers of iniquity. The only effective way for me to accomplish those two tasks that I've just shared, sharing with you what it is that God says, what is the fruit of believers, and to help you miss the snares, to stay away from those traps that are laid by the enemy, is with God's Word. That's the only way that I know how to do this. So I must bring you the Word of Almighty God as it's written. Walking in the Spirit keeps us from fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. That's what's written. But in our text, the Apostle Paul, he didn't refer to Satan or Hasatan, which is his Hebrew name. He didn't refer to him. He didn't say that the devil is going to do this. The devil isn't anywhere, everywhere. He's not omniscient. He can't be everywhere. He's got a crew of angels. We call them demons or unclean spirits. They're the ones that are out there oppressing. They're the ones that are setting the traps and the snares. They're his snares. But he can't set the snare for everybody. It's written in Galatians 5:17, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. As I said earlier, we stumble. And I will confess, like Paul, sometimes things come out of my mouth I'd rather didn't. How can the same mouth that gives blessing to God bring forth anything less? But God gets the glory in forgiving. He gets the glory. He gets the glory through His Son who gave His life that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. The Spirit keeps us from fulfilling the lust of the flesh. He gives strength that enables us to resist the devil. And what does the Word say when we resist the devil? Anybody? Shout it out. He flees! We resist, He flees. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. And when you slip up, it's fleshly, folks. It's not always the devil, and he can't make you do anything, okay? Contrary to something that happened whenever it was, the devil made me do it kind of thing. No, he doesn't make you do anything. He can't. If you're blood bought and paid for, he can't make you do anything. Your flesh can lead you into it. He can tempt you into it, but he can't make you do it. You're not his slave. You don't work for him. You don't belong to him. You've been blood bought. You've been paid for by the Lamb of Almighty God. Go on in Galatians 5:18. If you're led by the Spirit, it's written there, you're not under the law. Now, he can't convict you of the law. You're not under the law. You get that? Does that mean you can go out and kill people? No. Does that mean you can go out and be an adulterer? No. Does that mean you can go out and be a fornicator? No. Does that mean you can do anything that God says not to do? No. You don't have a license to sin. I've had people tell me, I can do whatever I want. I've got freedom. Okay. It's not what God's Word says, but we'll go with that for a moment. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he tells us, if we look, okay, he wrote of his struggle with sin in his letter to the Romans. He talks about it. He tells how the Lord had shown him that something in him kept him from doing what was right. It was his flesh. He blamed his flesh, and he blamed sinfulness within him. Can we be free from that? I believe we can. By the power the Holy Spirit gives us, we can overcome all of that. And Paul didn't give any excuse for sinning. Instead, he taught that believers are rescued by Christ. Are we rescued by Christ? Have we been bought and paid for? If we have, then we are rescued already. Already. We're set free. Why would we go back into the prison? Look, our Lord opened the door, okay? So come on out. Follow me. Why would we go back in? Why would we willfully, deliberately go back into that prison and then shut the gate behind us? Why would we do that? So we could beg, oh God, please set me free. He already did. He swung the gate open. We have no excuse to go on sinning. We've been set free from it. We're not his slaves. I want to go through something that Paul calls works of the flesh. He laid it out there in Galatians chapter 5. He said the works of the flesh are evident. They testify. They're evidence. There's evidence. They're clear. They're obvious. They're unmistakable. These are clear indications of operating in the flesh. This is what he's saying, okay? When he says they're evident, the works of the flesh are evident, and he says, whenever we see adultery, we know it's a work of the flesh. Whenever we see fornication, it's a work of the flesh. Uncleanness, work of the flesh. Lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, hatred. There's a lot of people that are hating that are calling themselves believers. And there's people who accuse me of being a hater. Now, anybody who knows me knows that's not true. I preach God's Word. Whatever His Word says, I've got to bring it to you, okay? And I bring it to you as lovingly as I possibly can. But I can't sugarcoat it, and I can't hide it, and I can't cut pages out. I was telling somebody the other day, we got to make our own Bible. We'll make it with an X-Acto knife, right? So when I said something like that, we'll call it the X-Acto knife, or the X-Acto knife Bible. And we can cut out whatever we don't like, right? That's what people are doing. We can't do that. We've got to look at it. And we've got to bring the balance of what it says. Here are works of the flesh, for example. Here are works of the Spirit. They are not the same. We can't say we're walking in the Spirit when we're walking in the flesh. If we're living in the Spirit, we will see the fruit of the Spirit being born. Because Jesus Himself said, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot. He didn't say might not. He didn't say can't. He said can't. He didn't say it might bear some bad fruit, but most of it will be good. No. It's not what He said. And we'll get to that. I want to read the exact text. When you slip up, it's fleshly. Whenever you're walking in these things that He says, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, we're seeing fleshly works when we see these things, folks. The opposites of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control are also fleshly works. If we're not patient, if we're not faithful, if we're not gentle, if we're not in some manner in control of ourselves, temperance is a word I believe is used in the King James Version of the Bible. Temperance is also used for controlling self. We're temperate in all things. Those who practice such things, he writes, shall not inherit. Practice. See, there's two words there. Practice and then that phrase, shall not inherit. We're not those who practice the works of the flesh. We're not those who practice those things that God disapproves of. And why does He disapprove of them? He doesn't want us to have any fun? Come on, folks. That's not true. No, God has made it so that we can enjoy His creation. And in fact, as adults who are married, men and women married to one another, we can have pleasure. God made it that way. Okay? So don't tell me God's trying to kill joy, trying to stop you from enjoying life. That's not true. But what He's saying is, these things will cause problems. They cause problems inside of the church, just as they cause problems outside of the church. When I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the entire body of Christ on the earth right now. We must be those who are willing to submit ourselves to Him in what He defines as that walk. This is the series of messages, Walk This Way. He's telling us how to walk in His Word. He tells us what to do and what not to do. He tells us what the difference is between the two of them. Either we're going to do what He says or we're not. And if we're not, then don't use that name because you're using it in vain. And using God's name in vain is not just something you say out of your mouth when you get upset. My dad used that a lot. And every once in a while, it comes to mind. I remember Dad saying that. Lord, help me not to say that. I don't. Using God's name in vain is the same whether you're using a word or if you're living a lifestyle that's contrary to His Word. Practice. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Practice means willful. It means deliberate, ongoing, unrepentant working of these things. It's written in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. In Matthew, we hear our Lord say, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." That could be made into a song. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He's talking to his disciples. Do not be deceived, it's written in Galatians chapter 6. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. Look, ladies, you're not excused. When it says a man, it means anybody. Not picking on you. Don't get me wrong now. For those who sow to their flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. What we sow in the flesh, these fleshly works, they break us down. There's no way around that. Science would agree with God's word on this one. I know people who smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I'm not picking on anybody that smokes cigarettes. I don't. I used to. I don't anymore. I praise God. He took that away. But those people who smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day and they're coughing and coughing. And I don't know why God won't take this away. Have people have me pray for their loved ones. Oh, please pray for my uncle or my grandma or whoever. And they're smoking 3 or 4 packs of cigarettes a day. They've got COPD. And they want me to pray that God would heal them. And I say, well, I'll pray that God takes the habit away and then I'll pray for God to heal their body. But I'm not, it would be contradictory to His Word. He doesn't tell me to do that. I pray for them to drop the habit, and then I'll pray for them to get healed. Don't be mocked. Remember, God's not mocked. Don't be deceived. Whatever we sow, we reap. And He says, but he who sows of the Spirit, here's the good news. Here's the good news, okay? It's not all bad news. We got to hear the bad news, though, to learn the good news, because there's no good news if there isn't bad news. It's just news then. He says, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, when it's time, we will reap if we do not lose heart. And you know, folks, in times like this, I think we all need to be encouraged. We see things that are a whole lot different than what we expected. Now, let me tell you something, okay? Because when we look at our Lord, when He came the first time, the most religious of that time didn't get it. They missed it. Their training, their education, everything that they understood as the Messiah coming went right over their heads. Because what they thought was different from what was reality. Now let me tell you folks, we may or may not be at that time that's foretold that precedes His coming. But I personally believe we are. We're at the end of the age as it's written in God's Word. Does that mean we're supposed to cower in fear? Does that mean we're supposed to hide away somewhere? No. God's Word says we are to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together as has become the custom of some, but to do so all the more as we see the day approaching. And so, in fact, if the day is approaching, we need to be those who are bearing spiritual fruit for God in praise and worship to Him and Him alone. I'm not going to bow to any worldly power. I'm not going to bow to the enemy's snare. He's thrown a snare upon the whole church and everybody, oh no, please. And I go round and round with pastors. Look, we obey the government to a point. When it interferes with our faith, we stop. Right there. Dead stop. There's no other way. That's clear in God's Word. That is absolutely perfectly clear in His Word. The spiritual fruit of faith, faithfulness, who are we faithful to? Are we faithful to some leader? Are we faithful to some agency or some government body? Or are we faithful to Almighty God? Are we faithful to His Word? Are we faithful to the Lord and Savior whom we have claimed to believe in? Now, we need to be those who claim what we're believing and believing what we claim. Not just claiming it, not just saying it. We need to be people who really, truly believe what we say. We need to be those who are bearing the spiritual fruit. Faithfulness is one of them. We're going to get there. Either the tree's good and the fruit's good, or else the tree's bad and the fruit's bad. Our Lord said, the tree is known by its fruit. So when He's looking down, He's looking around amongst His people, He says, okay, mine, not mine, mine, not mine, 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 mine. Bad fruit, rotten fruit, ask Him to cleanse it. If you are, in fact, born again, if you're renewed by the Spirit of the living God, if you are, in fact, His, then you need to be bearing fruit. You need to be fruit bearers for Him. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Okay? We're no longer locked in sin. We've been forgiven of that sin. Let's not stay in it. Come out of it. And I can just imagine hearing that, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Don't stay in. God's Holy Spirit delivers us from fleshly things. And this is how we bear spiritual fruit. So again, we're still working through the opposite of spiritual fruit. I'm not going to take as much time on the spiritual fruit, the fruit of believers that we're to bear. But I am going to take some time on it, folks, because you need to know this, especially now. If the Lord were to appear right now, if He were to manifest Himself in this room right now, how many of us would fall flat on our face? I will tell you, all of us will. Every single one of us. If John the Apostle, who was right next to the Lord, fell on his face whenever he encountered the living, redeemed, the Redeemer of all, the newborn, reborn, revitalized, new body, resurrected Christ. He fell on his face. I have no doubt that I will. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Remember, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are we thirsting and hungering for righteousness? Do we want to produce that spiritual fruit? Because if we do, great, let's go forward. The fruit of the Spirit's listed in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. There's many that are not bearing the fruit of faithfulness right in this time, folks. Unfortunately. And I'm not criticizing anybody, okay? There are a lot of people that have a lot of reasons for not worshiping together. I get that. I've got to put the caveats in there because some people get upset with me whenever I don't. And so I say, I understand. But I also know what God's calling us to. And it's a higher calling. It goes beyond our flesh. It goes beyond us being concerned for ourselves. And it goes beyond us saying that we're concerned for somebody else. Because in love, we're going to draw people into the presence of Almighty God. And don't tell me that it's the same to do it. I can't preach to an empty room and know that all of you are being fed with God's Word. I can't. Your dog's yapping in the background, the cat's meowing and crowing on your head, or whatever the distractions are. Paul said there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. No law against it. So there's no reason not to, in other words. Okay? He's putting it pretty plain. It's written in John chapter 15. Our Lord said, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches." This is what He says. We're the branches. Branches. We're connected. Those who abide in Him, He says, abide in Him, and He abides in us, we bear much fruit. Not a little bit. Much fruit. See, when we're operating in the power, when we're operating in the authority of Almighty God, we're going to be bearing fruit. Part of that fruit is we're going to see people healed. That's part of the fruit. It's not listed as a fruit of the Spirit, but it is most definitely spiritual fruit. We'll see it. We'll see it. Bears much fruit. For without me, you can do everything? No. Let's see. It says, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So do we rely on Him? Do we turn to Him? Do we call on Him? Do we ask Him? Are we truly walking in the Spirit? Or are we so caught up in the things of life that we forget that we are to call on Him? He will respond. He always does. Abide in me, for without me you can do nothing. He said, I'm the true vine and my Father's the vine dresser. Now pay attention. Every branch in me, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. He prunes. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So we could say we're pruned if we do, and we're pruned if we don't. Okay? Seriously. He's the pruner. He's the vine dresser. He's the one that's looking at us and saying, okay, can I clip this one, just snip it a little bit? Can I clean this one up a little bit and get some more fruit out of this one? This one's gone bad. Snip. And like he said, they get cast in the fire. Now, I'm not going to go into the theological differences that we may have about that and what that means, but I'll tell you this, folks. I don't want to be one that's cut off and cast in the fire. I don't care if it means we're going to be going through trials here on earth and God's going to allow that to happen because He's allowing it for our own good to bring us back. I'm not going to go into all that. But what I am going to tell you is He wants spiritual fruit. He wants us to bear solid spiritual fruit. And He outlines what that looks like. Those that are Christ, it's written in Galatians 5:24, have crucified the flesh. Crucified. Crucified. What's that mean? Crucified. That means you killed the flesh. You walked away from it. There was an old preacher said one time, I heard him say, one thing you knew when you saw a guy carrying a cross out of town, he wasn't coming back. Okay? Are we really dead to self? Are we really, truly, fully, completely surrendered to Christ? Yeshua, our Messiah. Are we really sold out, completely surrendered? Are we really those who have been bought and paid for? And I'm challenging you, folks, and I'm doing that intentionally because I want you to understand. If, in fact, you have given yourself over to Him, then you are. So then bear fruit that's worthy of that repentance which you have shown. John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. Who warned you, you religious vipers? Who warned you to flee the wrath of God to come? But bear fruit, he said, worthy of repentance. Now, if we've turned from our sin, then we need to be bearing that cross. And he said, our Lord said, pick it up every day. Every day, start fresh. Okay, Lord, I'm going to pick up this cross. I'm going to die to myself. Whatever you want today, that's what I want to do. Oh, okay, well, that's hard. You know, God, I've got a job. I've got children. I've got a family. You know, I've got things I've got to do. We're going to have a funeral and, you know, I just bought this piece of property. And he said, let that take care of itself. In other words, don't let anything get in the way of you following Him. Don't let anything get in the way of you bearing fruit for Him. Don't let anything get in the way of you walking on His path. Don't let anything get in the way of you walking His way. He's the true vine. We've crucified our flesh with its passions and desires. We've let that all go. Or we haven't, and if we haven't, then we need to turn to Him and let it go. That's the whole point. If we want to bear spiritual fruit, we need to let go of all that stuff that goes against bearing spiritual fruit. In Romans chapter 6, we hear, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Certainly not. Certainly not. Get that straight, folks, because there are those out there who will tell you, you can go on sinning. I heard a preacher with my own ears. I was sitting in the congregation who said that you can go out and sin it up and then go tell your daddy that you're sorry. And he'll forgive you. Well, you know, I happen to know from personal experience that Almighty God will forgive you. That doesn't mean you won't suffer the consequences of your sin. I happen to know by personal experience you will suffer the consequences of your sin. I live with mine. I'm telling you for your own good. This is what He tells us for all of our own good. He wants us to bear spiritual fruit that gives glory to Him. And if we're going to be His people, as we go through this coming time, and there's probably more things that are going to happen that we're not going to enjoy, we're not going to like. There very well could be, coming down the pike, some sort of a mark that they're going to say, without which you cannot buy or sell. Masks. You can't buy or sell without a mask. Well, you know, I'm either not going to buy and sell in your place or I'm not going to buy and sell, but I'm not going to put on a mask. I've just said no. I have a religious exemption. My Father in heaven says, whatever it is, don't take it.
Fear not, says the Lord.
Be not afraid. Amen. What? Should we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Don't you know that to whom you present yourselves, and this is the important, really important part, folks, to whom you present yourselves to obey, slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey. You say, here, put the shackles on me. Put the shackles on me. Lock me up. I'm yours. He's saying, sin leads to death. Or what about obedience leading to righteousness? Obedience, yes. God wants our obedience. This is how we produce spiritual fruit. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, it's written, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Is that true? We've been set free from sin. We are slaves to righteousness. We're no longer slaves of the enemy. We are slaves of Christ. That's what His Word says. As slaves of righteousness, we have the Holy Spirit within us who enables us and empowers us to produce godly fruit. He says so. His Word is clear with this, okay? I knew this was going to be a little bit longer, and I apologize for those of you that might be uncomfortable in a longer service. Please forgive me, but I have to bring the whole truth, okay? I can't just give you one side. I could have skipped all that stuff about the ungodly fruit, the fleshly fruit. I could have jumped over that, but I can't. I have to let you know. I speak in human terms, it's written in Romans 6:19, because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of unrighteousness or uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now, present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Present yourself, your members, your bodies. Present your body as a slave of righteousness. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Before you were spiritually reborn, you bore unrighteous fruit. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That's what His Word says. Romans 6:20. Before being spiritually reborn, you could not produce consistently fruit of the Spirit. Even though those things that are listed as the fruit of the Spirit, you could maybe produce, but not consistently. You were locked in sin. I was locked in sin. I came to the Lord as a teenager. I was preaching on the streets as a teenager. And I ran from God because of an unfortunate incident with a Roman Catholic priest who decided to choke me. And I ran out into the world and I learned what the world had to offer. So there's nothing you've done that I haven't, okay? Well, maybe a thing or two. I don't know. But let me tell you, folks, I know the world. There's nothing that it has to offer. There is nothing in the world that can give you what Almighty God can give you, and that's everlasting life. You have everlasting life, and He wants you to bear fruit unto that. He wants you to bear fruit unto that. You're no longer slaves of unrighteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things which you're now ashamed? You know, I'm ashamed. I don't live in shame, but I'm ashamed. If I had to discuss those when I stand before the Lord, if anything is brought up, I'm going to say, wow, I am ashamed. I'm ashamed of those things. And He asks you, what fruit did you have in those things that you're now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. It's the opposite of spiritual fruit. And if we're going to be God's people, we need to be producing spiritual fruit. We must. This is a critical time, folks. I'm telling you it's critical. I know by the Spirit of God who witnesses within me to my spirit. We are in a testing time. This is a trying time, okay? The Lord Himself says He's going to sift the sheep from the goats. He says He's going to shift the wheat from the tares. He says He's going to sift the bad fish from the good fish. He says that, not me. I'm not calling Him a bad guy. I'm saying He's righteous. I'm saying His judgment is righteous. And He's going to judge us. And part of the way that He does that is by the fruit that we produce. He says so. Not me. That's His word. He tells us that in His word. And there's so many today that want to cut that part or those parts out of the Bible, and I refuse to do it. I bring the balance. We either bear good fruit or we're bearing the opposite. His word. Again, not mine. His. Just sharing it with you and trying to make it make some sense, because I'm bringing a lot more, I'm sure, than some of you have heard in one message ever before. We take a text. I know, because I learned in homiletics class, we take a text and then we build a message around it for 15 minutes. We tell a couple of good stories, maybe a joke or two, and by the time we get to the meat of it, the people are ready to go. Well, I don't do that, and I refuse to do that. I'm going to bring you the Word of Almighty God. And sometimes it takes a little longer, folks, because it's a heavy subject. And this is one of those times. This is a heavy subject. This is a meaty subject. And do you know these little ears up here? Do you hear any children screaming and crying? Do you hear any of the children? Are they complaining? No, they are hanging on every word because they want the meat of the Word too. And even if they don't want it, they're still getting it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. No, we don't have any pre-printed publications that we're going to teach the children on the outside of this room. We don't. And we never have. I haven't. There may have been some teachers before that did, but not me. Anyway, side note, sorry for the rabbit trail. We'll come back. Paul repeatedly faces off the two ideas of sin, unrighteousness, which is opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. He puts them together. He says, here they are. Boom, 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 boom. He always lays them out together, but we don't like to do that. We like to just look at the good side. Let's all feel good, okay? We're going to feel good. We're going to feel good because we have everlasting life, and we know we have that everlasting life through the One that gave His life for ours. You, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. In the end, everlasting life. God's servants bear the fruit of the Spirit. God's servants, His obedient servants, receive His promises. But those who do not bear spiritual fruit do not. Make no mistake about that, folks. His word is clear. His word is clear. Some would say, well, what about the thief on the cross? At that last moment, he bore the fruit of faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit. The Lord said, oh, you're going to be with me. It's never too late, but you know, I'm not waiting. I am not waiting. We're almost finished, folks. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. That was the last passage in the passage that we read from Galatians chapter 5. Walking in the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. Don't be conceited. Don't provoke one another. Because being conceited and provoking one another, I've got more fruit than you. That's the fruit of the flesh. You might be living in the Spirit. You might be walking in the Spirit. Then the devil comes along and says, yeah, pats you on the back. Look how good you're doing. It's all about you. And you need to let everybody else know where they're not making the mark. Ah, that's religious hypocrisy. That's not where we're to be. Those are unloving works of the flesh that war against the Spirit. In Philippians chapter 1, we read, "For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all, with the affection of our Lord, Yeshua," the one we call Jesus. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Messiah, being filled with the fruits of righteousness." Once again, the fruit of the Spirit, righteousness, "which are by Him," Yeshua, the one we call Jesus, Messiah, "to the glory and praise of God." It's not to our glory. It's not to our praise. We're not to be conceited. We're not to be puffed up. We're not to be envying one another. Oh, I wish I could be like Brother John, you know, because after all, no. You can aspire to be like Christ. He said so. And how did He do it? He picked up the cross and He went and He hung on that cross. And He's saying, die to yourself. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, we hear, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus," Yeshua, the Messiah, "who do not walk according to the flesh." And you know, so often when I hear that passage, I only hear the first part. People would like to love to quote that. There's no more condemnation. Oh, no, 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 no. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And they forget the second part, "who do not walk according to the flesh." I can walk according to the flesh because there's no more condemnation in Christ. No. He says, but according to the Spirit. We walk according to the Spirit. We don't walk according to the flesh. We walk according to the Spirit. We're producing spiritual fruit. Actions that are characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are godly fruit. All of your actions that fit into those categories, that's godly fruit. That's spiritual fruit. And this is the foundation of love which we build upon, Christ. God is love. In Him there is no hate in that sense that we understand hate, except He does say in His Word in Psalm 5:5 that He hates the workers of iniquity. Who are the workers of iniquity? Those who are living in the fruits of the flesh. If we love Almighty God, we live for Him to His glory. If we love Him completely, we want to please Him. And that's in the bearing of fruit. She's the one that's going to dress the vine, pruned if you do, pruned if you don't. Yielding the Holy Spirit's guidance leads us into producing fruit that honors, glorifies, and pleases Almighty God. If we love others as we love ourselves, we turn from everything that's contrary to loving others as ourselves. And that's the fleshly works. We're not going to commit those willful sinning acts that go against others or against God. That's how we produce this godly fruit, this fruit of the Spirit. Simply because the fruit of the Spirit is opposite of the fruit of the flesh. Our Lord said He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. It's written in Romans chapter 8. Paul said that He, Yeshua, the one we call Jesus, condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. And I will wrap it up. I encourage you to walk in the Spirit. And if you're not sure, maybe you've never had a spiritual experience. Maybe you don't even know if you have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that Almighty, you know, just a couple weeks from now, we're going to be celebrating the time when the Holy Spirit fell down on the church. 3,000 souls were added. I don't know where we're going to put them all, Lord. We'll figure it out. He'll figure it out, John. That's right. Amen. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, folks. You won't. It just won't happen. Because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your spirit and say, You're off the path there. You're not walking His way. And as we near the Messiah's return, I want us to heed His words to His followers. Watch and pray, He said, lest you enter into temptation. Watch and pray. Watch for His coming. He said, watch, watch, be watchful, watch. He said it over and over. Watch, be watch. You don't know when He's coming. Watch, watch, pay attention. He's going to be coming. Pay attention. He's on His way. Pay attention. The signs of His coming are clear. Pay attention. He said so. Pray. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, because the spirit indeed is willing, but what's weak? The flesh. The flesh is weak. These bodies are weak. But He says, watch and pray. So He gives us a way to overcome the flesh when we come under temptation. God, help me. I all the time, that's my prayer. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm praying, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. Pray for Holy Spirit to strengthen you in the power of His might. Pray, ask God, please. Fill me with Your Spirit. We sing, fill me now, fill me now. Even if you're bearing the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Long-suffering is patience, by the way. And I know I didn't describe all of these. Most of them you probably know. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can ask for more. Remember, our Lord said, ask and you'll receive. Ask and you'll receive. Ask for the Spirit. He says, you being humans, you give good gifts to your children, right? How much more will your Holy Father, your Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Ask Him. Ask Him for wisdom. Ask Him for these things that He alone can provide. Ask Him. Whoever sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's what's written in His Word. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And isn't that where we all want to be when the Messiah returns? He said, will I find faith on the earth when I come back? Do we or do we not want to be those people of faith who are bearing fruit, holy fruit, righteous fruit? And wouldn't that be the best place to be when He returns? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word, Lord. You know, Father, sometimes I can't pass the 3-minute test. I can't pass the 15-minute test. I can't pass the 30-minute test. Father, You made me this way. You've allowed me to be this way. And so I just ask You, Lord, that You would ease all of our minds as we prepare for lunch downstairs. And those, Lord, who would join us, may we get to know one another even better. I pray, Father, that You would fill each one in this building with Your Spirit, that we would bear the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of righteousness. And I pray this all in Christ's name, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, if y'all don't mind, we'll receive an offering. Lord, we just ask that You would guide us in our giving, though, to be sufficient to meet the needs here and beyond. And we pray this all in Christ's name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. And just FYI, yours truly is a volunteer. None of what you give comes to me unless you say, here's something for the pastor. Okay? Amen.